You're listening to the NetMums podcast with me, Wendy Gollidge.
And me, Alison Perry. Coming up on this week's show...
I just had no preparation for it already. So I was reading all different books and someone's telling me to do this, another one's telling me to do that. And you can get lost in this world of like what you're supposed to do. But I feel like you know best. And it's just, you know, everyone parents differently. And I think it's just accepting that.
But before all of that...
This episode of the NetMums podcast is brought to you by Fairy Non-Bio, the number one laundry brand for sensitive skin.
They've partnered with Great Ormond Street Hospital Children's Charity to support seriously ill children and their families. With every Fairy Non-Bio pack bought from Home Bargains, Fairy Non-Bio will donate 5p to GOSH Charity with a minimum donation of £100,000.
I know where I'm going after this. Now, on with the show. Hello, everyone. I just want to say one thing, which is thank goodness it's not January anymore. I don't know about you, but I just feel like February is so much better. We've got Pancake Day. We've got Valentine's Day. It just feels like it's a bit less grim, a bit less grey, a bit of joy injected into the month. But I would say, Wendy, let's not get too complacent because, as a newsletter from my kids' school reminded me the other day, World Book Day is just around the corner, which means we've only got a few weeks to get thinking about costumes.
World Book Day. It's the bane of parents' lives. It's lovely. It's such a lovely idea. Actually, my kids' school does something really nice. You can go in your pyjamas or something you would wear to read, so you don't have to spend 42 hours with a cardboard box trying to make a costume.
See, that's so nice, isn't it?
Our guest today, her children might be a bit little for World Book Day. She might not have got to this level of torture.
We can tell her all about it.
Today, folks, we are joined by a total popular culture legend. She's someone we've wanted to chat to on the podcast since we very first started, and she's here. Dani Dyer is, of course, known for winning Love Island, presenting an array of programmes, being on Celebrity MasterChef, which to me is just terrifying, and her podcast with her dad, Dani Dyer, Sorted with the Dyers. She's a mum of three, including twins, and Alison certainly knows what that's like.
I do.
And she's an ambassador for CBeebies Little Learners app. Dani, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, are you okay?
Hi, Dani. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you all?
We're good.
We are. It's a Friday, folks. We're recording on a Friday, and I think we're all pretty damn glad it's a Friday.
And the sun is shining where I am. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like it's Friday. The sun is shining. We're chatting to Dani Dyer. Life is good.
Thanks, Kim. No, I do think it makes a difference when the sun's shining, absolutely.
So, Dani, you are 3 years into motherhood and you've got three small people. How is the Dani Dyer we're talking to today different from the Dani Dyer of 3 years ago, other than a shocking amount more knackered?
Do you know what? I think you change so much when you have kids, like drastically change. I think your priorities become, you know, a lot different. But I absolutely love it. I feel like it just ages you when you have kids completely.
Yep.
It's amazing. Like, I love it. I never thought I'd have three kids at the age of 27, though. Like, never. If you would have said that to me 5 years ago, I would have probably laughed. But yeah, it definitely ages you, but it definitely makes you stronger. And yeah, it just changes your life views completely. And I also always want to apologise now to my mum and dad, because I'm like, oh, I've got a lot of that coming back to me.
Yeah, I'll bet. Now, you were a solo parent, weren't you, to Santi for a while. What do you think the biggest day-to-day challenges were, looking back at that kind of period? Like, what did that period of your life teach you?
I think it's just definitely like with my like strength and ability of things, you know, sort of being on your own with like a child, it's always a bit more scary, a bit more daunting. But I mean, it was great because I had such lovely support around me. Like, my mum was incredible. But I just, you know what, I loved it. We made so many amazing memories together, and he really did teach me obviously how to be a mum, and he's like my little best friend now. We have such an amazing little bond. I don't know if that's like that boy and mum kind of thing. Like, I feel like I'll still be running his baths when he's like 30.
See, it's an all-girl podcast. We've got all girls, so we don't know.
Yeah.
And trust me, when they get to 13, that's a whole different world.
I'm glad I got my boy.
Yes.
So I just love their names. You've got Santi, Summer and Star, and you managed to steer clear of a Danny. Were you ever tempted to call one of them Danny?
No, never. Like, I was never, because a lot of people were thinking that when I was pregnant with Santi, that was, like, oh, is she going to name him Danny or her Danny, because I didn't know the gender. But no, that was never a thing. And my dad always says now, if he knew I would have followed his footsteps, that he wouldn't have called me Danny either. But it was thing in that area, like, where we lived, a lot of people called, like, their children by the same name. Like, yeah. It was just the thing.
It's quite common. We had George Clark, the Channel 4 presenter, on last week, and he called his eldest Georgie. So I think it is more common than you think.
It is common, it is. But I think it's because, obviously, where I was a girl, people were a bit more like, why did he call her Danny? But it does work. There's not that many Dannys. I've not met many girl Dannys, actually, yet.
No, I'm a fellow twin mum, Danny. My girls are 5. If you had to sum up being a twin mum in 3 words, what would they be?
I would just say I'm on a roller coaster at the moment. Like, and every twin mum or dad I meet, they always look at me and they're like, are you okay? Like, it's like that. Like, I had it the other week. I was in ZZ with the 3 kids and like my mum and dad. And then there was a twin dad there, and he sat there, and the girls must have been about 4 or 5, and he was just kept looking at me. And then he could see then I had the twins, and he just looked at me and did the same thing, like, is everything okay? And I was like,
That's it. He knows. He's probably thinking back to, oh, I remember those days. Because your girls, are they about 9 months old now?
Yeah, they're 8 months.
8 months.
So they always say the first year is a complete and utter blur. So definitely that newborn stage for me was tough, yeah, I'd say.
It's hard when it feels like you need to have, like, octopus arms, like you need to be doing so many things at the same time. It just feels impossible at times, doesn't it? Especially when they are so little.
Yeah, and I think it was like that first, because we had a couple of days in the hospital with them, and then when we come home, I remember my little boy just asked me for a juice. He was like, Mummy, can I have a juice? I just started crying. I was like, I don't know how to get you a juice. I had a baby in each arm. And I've just learned, I think, that, like, along the way, like, sort of how to juggle, like, having 3 kids and stuff. But I remember when I was pregnant with twins and everyone was saying to me, oh my God, like, you're nervous. And it was just as hard that I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
So difficult.
But that's so not helpful, that I think that pregnancy rhetoric where people say, even if you're just pregnant with one, the doom mongers are like, oh, newborns, they're awful. Oh, thanks. And then when you've got a toddler, they're like, oh, just wait till you've got a teenager. Oh, great. Can you just wind your neck in?
Yeah, there's a lot of that. I would say there's a lot of that. I've had it before where I've been out shopping and someone will go, oh, rather you than me. And,
oh, yeah.
You would get so many of them comments now when you have twins, I'd say.
All the time.
What's your 3 words, Alison?
Oh, goodness. Way to throw it back on me, Wendy. I would say, I'm stealing Danny's word, roller coaster, 100%. Difficult, because it's so much harder than I thought it would be, but also incredible. Seeing these 2 little characters develop and become so different, but still have each other, having that bond, it's just incredible to watch.
So would you say, Alison, it's got easier or harder?
I would say it's got easier, but there are different challenges. So now it's like, one, because they're in different primary school classes, so one of them will get invited to a birthday party, another one doesn't, or a play date. And so it's just sort of managing and making sure that the happiness of one of them doesn't make the other one utterly miserable, which is just, it's a balance, it's a juggle, you know?
Yeah, I suppose as, like, kids grow up, there's all different challenges, ain't there? And that's what it is, really.
But it does get easier.
What I've always wanted to know about twins is, what do you do when they start walking and they run in different directions?
This is it. When you're at a park, you need, especially if you're on your own with them, you need to be kind of able just to quickly scoop one of them up under one arm and then bolt it and get the other one up under the other arm. It is terrifying.
Goodness me.
Sorry, not to scare you, Danny. It's all good. It's all good.
It's all good.
What's it like having a TV icon as a dad, Danny?
You know what? I've always had a really normal life. Like, when people say that, like, what was it like growing up? I didn't even think he was famous or anything. Like, I've never really lived in that sort of bubble or anything like that. It's always been pretty normal. My mum's always kept him pretty on the ground. So, It was just like any other dad, really. Like, it wasn't anything different, or, you know, people said, oh, I bet there was, like, loads of famous people around your house. I can't really how many famous people I've ever had. It's just always been pretty normal for us.
Yeah, that sounds nice though. What kind of influence do you think that your relationship with your dad's had on your own parenting style and like the kind of family life that you want to build?
I mean, he's so loving and so affectionate, and we're very open. Like, we literally tell each other everything. Like, if there's, that probably did shoot me in the foot a little bit when I was like a teenager growing up, like telling them everything. But it's definitely taught me that I'd want my children to be able to trust me and be able to talk to me and, you know, the highs and lows of everything, really. Do you know what I mean? Especially them teenage years. So, yeah, he's definitely taught me to just have that, like, trust and always have an open arms, always be there to listen. And especially, like, the affection side of it. I say to him, like, you sort of set me and my sister up for failure at the beginning, because not a lot of, like, not all men, but there's, like, cuddling and speaking how you feel and all that. He was very like that. And then, like, as I grew up, I was like, oh, okay, that's not that common as I thought it was. So, yeah, he's really loving, and I absolutely love that about him.
Is he a totally soppy granddad?
God, yeah. Like, honestly, like, when he came to the hospital and met the twins, he was just, he's such an emotional man. He really, really is. But I do love that. I really love that about him, to be honest.
Also, isn't he famously a West Ham fan? So was he cock-a-hoop happy when you told him that you were together with West Ham player Jared?
Yeah, you know what? I think that was just a bonus for him, because I think if Jared was awful, then the whole West Ham thing would have been like, damn, you know what I mean?
Tarnished.
But he sort of knew about him before I did. Like, he was saying, oh, he does this, he does that. I was like, oh, really? Like, obviously, I was still knowing. But he absolutely loves him as a person. But obviously, him playing for West Ham is probably just a tiny little bonus, you know?
I wanted to ask, at Christmas, there was photos of you wearing a ring and it was all over the paper that there were engagement rumours. Does that sort of stuff drive you absolutely potty?
Yeah, it was I'm not going to put my finger up because it looked like I'm swearing, but it was like a little ring I bought from Abbott Lion. And I've had it for ages. So, yeah, I do have a lot of that. Like, oh, daddy wants to be engaged and sparks engagement rumours. But I've had that literally since I've come off Love Island, like, constantly, like, Danny wants to be engaged. It makes me look really demanding, like, in all my relationships that I demand an engagement all the time. But I just feel like it does. But it happens. Like, I think there was one thing when I think there was something printed that I was engaged. Oh, no, Jared's proposing to me. And I was like, oh, well, if he is, then I know now, don't I?
When I was researching you, literally every single article in the newspaper said, friends are expecting an engagement any day now. And it was like way back, yeah, like a year ago and last week. Yeah. So these friends, they're still waiting, Danny. Come on.
Yeah, these friends clearly ain't talking to the right people, are they? So, but no, yeah, I'm not. I would never, you know, when it happens, it happens. I feel like I'm a bit like that woman off Bride Wars when she, like, demands her engagement ring a little bit. That's how I'm coming across.
It's hard to imagine how stressful it is for families when their child is seriously ill. But Fairy Non-Bio has partnered with GOSH Charity to provide some comfort.
That's right, Wendy. One of the areas that GOSH Charity funds is free accommodation for families close to the hospital, so they're able to stay close by while their child is receiving treatment without having to worry about the cost. This helps ease the stress during what can be an extremely difficult time.
Between now and the 31st of March 2024, for every pack of Fairy Non-Bio detergent, Fairy Fabric Softener or Fairy Inwash Scent Boosters that you buy in Home Bargains, Fairy will make a 5p donation to GOSH Charity.
Which means that you can show your support as you shop. Now, back to our guest.
When you did the Channel 4 documentary about your anxiety as a mum...
Yeah.
I'm interested to know what kinds of coping mechanisms you learned and kind of do they make a difference? Do you still use them?
Definitely. I think it's more about, like, speaking to people and, like, sort of, you know, either if it's your mum or, like, a therapist. Or I think for me, I wasn't prepared for all the emotions that sort of, you know, like, when you get pregnant, it's meant to be, like, this, like, amazing thing, this amazing journey, and you're meant to have all these feelings when the baby comes. And I feel like all the positives are written down, but not so much the negatives. And I think for me, I absolutely loved, you know, having Santi, but the anxieties, I was always anxious, but I feel like I put my anxieties onto Santi of, like, health, and is he feeding well? Is he doing this? Is he doing that? And you can becoming a little bit of a bubble, I think. And obviously we was in COVID as well, so you weren't really getting out as much and you wasn't meeting other mums probably like you would. So when the sort of show come up about doing it, it just felt so right for me, because when I sort of met other mums and I was speaking to them, I was like, oh my God, that's how I felt. And it's normal to feel like that, because it's like normality and you don't really know what it is at the beginning. So I feel like being a first time mum actually is harder than when you have more children, because I feel like you know what more to expect.
I totally agree. I think that's shock.
You have no idea what to expect and how to feel when all your independence and all your freedom just stops. You can't just get up and go out anymore. You can't just do this. You can't just do that. So it can affect you in so many different ways, I think.
But you go from only being responsible for what you need to suddenly being responsible for this tiny person that looks like they're going to break if you get it wrong. And so... I totally agree. I moved house just before I had my first daughter. So I also had gone from living in London to living in middle of nowhere. And it's a real shock to the system.
Absolutely. I think that's definitely what it was. I just had no preparation for it already. So I was reading all different books and someone's telling me to do this and another one's telling me to do that. And you can get lost in this world of like what you're supposed to do. But I feel like you know best, and it's just, you know, everyone parents differently, and I think it's just accepting that.
It's so tricky though, isn't it? Because we were talking about how you don't want the doom mongers to be telling you how hard it is, but equally it feels like you need people like yourself, Dani, to be giving your honest account of how hard you have found certain aspects. It's really hard to get that balance, isn't it?
Yeah, I remember when I went to like I did tumble tots with Sandy for a little bit, and I remember there was just this mum there, and then I think it started at like 10 to 11 or something, and then we walked out and she was like, oh, thank God for that, most of the day's done now. And we just giggled, because it was like, you do feel like you're just living on a clock, don't you, sometimes? And just having that hour out and singing silly songs and just having bonds and meeting other mums that are sort of on your level is just so what you need. It's just them baby groups, my mum always says, are not for the babies, they're for the mums.
That's so true. Now you're working with CBeebies on their brilliant little learners app, My 5 Rules. Honestly, they love it. They play with it all the time. And it's all about early childhood development, isn't it? Is that something that you feel passionately about?
Absolutely. Because I feel like now we are in a little bit more of a generation, I think, where there are iPads. Kids are on YouTube a little bit more, obviously, than, say, like with my nan, with my mum. Do you know what I mean? So I feel like it's what your child's watching, and having that sort of independent play and knowing they're learning, knowing they've got their favourite characters on there. I think there's been times of Santi's been on YouTube Kids, and although it's YouTube Kids, he's run off a little bit and gone on some ads, and then there's monsters under the bed, and then he's scared. So it was right for me, because there are moments that he is sitting on the iPad. I wanted to make sure that what he's watching is completely safe. He's learning. Santi's 3 now and he loves to learn, and they don't really know that they're learning on it, which I think is good about it. You know, you're not just going, right, sit here, read a book and learn. It's all the songs. We love Mr. Tumbles, you know, we love Hey Dougie. Sort of playing together and knowing everything he's watching is completely legit and safe, and he just really, really enjoys it.
What's his favourite part? Who is the character of obsession at the moment?
He's always loved Peppa, but I would say Peppa Pig and Hey Dougie are his favourite, and obviously Hey Dougie's on there. And he loves Mr. Tumbles, because Mr. Tumbles has taught him, he loves to sing. And I feel like in the singing world, they actually learn. And I love all like the mindfulness. I really love that now, like sort of as our kids are growing up, we're like teaching them like really lovely things. I just love all that. I love the singing.
It's so nice.
Because I'm thought Sam now brushes his teeth because of the singing the songs.
We have a Hey Dougie toothbrushing toy that sits on our bathroom sink, and it is the loudest thing ever. And every time my kids brush their teeth, they put it on and they have the toothbrushing song. But it's genius. It's so good.
No, it
is. I will never forgive Hey Dougie for the stick song, though.
It's just not good. I love it.
And I mean, I want CBeebies when it hits like 6 p.m. and they sing goodbye, hello moon. You're like, yeah, let's go.
That's it. It's bedtime. It's so good though that the app is designed to support a child's route to school. So my girls are in reception at the moment, and the part of the app that they love the best is the Alpha Blocks game because they're learning phonics and they're pretty obsessed with Alpha Blocks right now. Do you feel any pressure though to have your kids being able to read or write or be at a certain level before they start school?
I don't think you should ever pressure your child. I feel like every child is on their own developmental journey. Like, Santi for me was always late to everything. Like, he was late for crawling, he was late for walking, whereas the girls might be a bit quicker with that. But he's, I feel like with intelligence, he is very, very intelligent. And I don't know if that's from just the way he is. He's an Aquarius, apparently they're very intelligent, you know, from nursery. And I think it is what you do at home with them. But I don't think you should always pressure on. I think it's hard because you can compare and you can sit there and go, oh, your child's doing this, mine isn't. I don't think you should pressure it. I feel like every child is on their own journey and, you know, you can only do so much and they'll get there, you know, whether they're 2 or 5 or 6, you know. But I think, you know, just do what you can at home and don't put pressure on yourself, really.
The twins thing is quite an interesting one with comparing as well, because I find myself comparing them all the time, but not in a bad way, in more of a helpful way, that I think that it's almost quite helpful to have that kind of benchmark where you think, oh, well, one of them is here and the other one isn't quite, but that's okay, like, you know, but it's just quite an interesting one to have that comparison.
Yeah, and I think if, when you have, like, a few of my friends have obviously got an older child or younger, and they said they still do it, they'll be like, well, you know, Santi was doing this and they're not doing it. It's so easy to do that. But
mine are 12 and 8 and I still do it now.
Of course you do, but I feel like you just got to let children be, stop pressuring their children at the end of the day. You know, even them early years of going to school, it's all about having a little bit of fun and colouring and drawing, and it shouldn't be so false on a child, you know, to, you know, be so educated. They'll get there.
I think what I would say as well is when they get older, so I remember being absolutely kind of like, okay, well, she should be crawling by now or she should be walking. And then when you kind of get into the realms of like secondary school and stuff, you realise that it really doesn't matter whether they crawled at 9 months or 12 months. And it doesn't matter whether they ate a sweet potato when they were 2. You know, none of it matters. Actually, going back to the stuff you were saying about the mindfulness, that's the stuff that matters, is teaching them to be rounded little beings who can kind of cope with this crazy world and all the input that we're giving them.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. It's just all about them just being happy and, you know, bringing them up to just be their own person, really, you know, and enjoy life as much as they can. I feel like children, they're just so innocent, and trying to keep that innocence for as long as you possibly can, I think, is what's important.
And how do you handle screen time with your kids? Like, are you quite strict on when they can watch TV and when they can use devices?
Yeah, I think when we're out all day, it's perfect. And I love taking Santi out, like, as much as I possibly can. But it's obviously harder now because I've got the twins. And, you know, that beginning stage of that, like, routine and feeding and nap times and all that, that can take its toll a little bit. But definitely, I do try my best as well to obviously limit the screen time. And when he has it, I sort of know when he wants it. If he just needs that little bit of winding down time, you know, like if he comes home from nursery, just needs that little half an hour sometimes, or if I'm prepping dinner. But what I love about the app, though, is it's not about how much screen time they have with that, because I feel like it's all completely educational. And everything they are learning, they can have that independent play, because, like I said, he's not running away and seeing things that I don't want him to see. So I think it's just definitely what they're learning rather than how many hours they're on it. But of course, I definitely limit it. I wouldn't put him on an iPad all day long, but I feel like there's always that, some days more than others. And it's crazy now, because we're just living in a world where iPads are such a thing now, ain't they? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, we spoke to a social media, like, safety expert on the Net Mum's Instagram a few months back.
Yeah.
And she was saying exactly what you're saying, Dani, that actually the whole notion of screen time is really outdated, because kids these days are doing such brilliant educational, creative things on screens that we shouldn't just lump it all together and call it screen time, and that's a bad thing. We should be looking at what they're doing. So, like you say, if they're using the CBeebies app and they're doing something educational, that's quality screen time, isn't it?
Yeah, they're getting something from it, because, like you said, you know, there's the alpha blocks, there's like the colouring, there's putting shapes and stuff together, you know, learning how to wash your hands by singing a song. It's what they're watching, I think, is what's most important, really.
And I don't think there's a parent alive who hasn't sat there waiting for the bedtime hour to come so that they can put them in front of the bedtime hour and just have a minute, just have a second to breathe.
Yeah, I do have CBeebies on quite a lot in the day. It's always in the background, really. But I feel like because it's in the background, Santi's not that bothered by it, like, because he always will play his toys. And if it's on, it's on. You know, I've never really been one of them around the TV and stuff. You know, he's not one that's ever really been glued in front of it. But I think when you make such an obsession of it and you're not having things all the time, then it becomes more of an issue. I just try and keep it really chilled in the house, you know. Some days he's going to be on the iPad more than others, and I'm fine with that, really.
So if you could go back and give Danny of 3 years ago or Love Island Danny some advice, what would you say to her?
What would I say to her? Goodness me. I think just to enjoy every day as much as you possibly can. And I'm a worrier. I've always been a worrier. I overthink everything. And I still do that now, really. So maybe in 5 years' time, I can give myself better advice. But I think just to, like, live every day as it is and stop questioning myself. I've always questioned myself. And just try to, you know, enjoy every moment, I'd say. Especially when I come off Love Island, I wish I would have just gone, just enjoy it for everything it is, the highs and the lows. Completely.
That's brilliant advice. Well, Danny, thank you so much for joining us today. It has been so, so great to chat to you.
Thanks for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.